The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's a powerful gospel, and you know, when the priest doesn't flub it, it's a powerful closing line. You know, God wants to keep me humble. What are you going to do? This is it. You know, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. Now, our minds might automatically go to Jesus rising from the dead, and people kind of remaining still. Some people still remaining in their pattern of life. Their habits of heart, especially as it relates to receiving God's mercy, bringing it to life for others. But the immediate referent of the story is not Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It's what we heard in the previous parable, right? The parable of the prodigal son, where the father says, this brother of yours was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he's been found. And we know that In his mission, in his ministry, Jesus is raising the dead to life. Yeah, Jesus is raising the dead to life. He's giving the dead, those dead in their sin, this is from St. Paul, right? Those dead in their sin, he is bringing to life God's mercy for them. He is restoring them to spiritual health and wholeness. I say spiritual health, like, oh, you know, that little, like, pie in the sky stuff you're talking about, right? Getting your prayers right and everything. No, getting your life right. Centering on the true and living God. There's nothing more important in the world. There's nothing more practical in the world than getting your life centered on the true and living God. And his parables, both the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the unjust steward, and now the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, give us exactly that. We see in these parables pictures of lives that have gone awry, and especially not say for those who are being found dead and being raised to new life by Jesus, but those who believe themselves to have life and have riches and have worth and all the rest. In fact, those who consider themselves to be the guardians of God's treasure, the rulers of the time, the Pharisees, the scribes, the political pressure group that dictated the national agenda of the day. And the national agenda of the day was an us versus them agenda. Because they believed themselves, they knew themselves, in fact, to be God's chosen people. But what they allowed that to do to their hearts and minds was anything but what God wanted. He wanted them to be distributors of his manifold grace. He wanted his own people to be set apart so that they could live totally for his purposes. In fact, they found themselves a people set apart with the riches of God at their fingertips and used it for their own ego aggrandizement and their own selfish ambition. Completely the wrong thing. Yeah, and then Jesus comes on the scene as the God who is totally for the other, bringing his love to life for those who are in desperate need of it and who recognize themselves to be in desperate need of it. And that, in the end, is the difference that we hear Jesus say time and time again in the scriptures, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And what is the difference between, in his understanding of things there, the righteous and the sinners? Nothing except for the recognized need of dependence on God. Right? The righteous are left out in the cold because they're focused on themselves. They're centered on themselves. As St. Augustine says, they're turned in on themselves. And so they can't be of use to the advancing of God's plan as he intended them to be. Right? So Israel is turned in on itself and can't be the light to the nations that they were intended to be by God. So here we see the Pharisees kind of standing off still at a distance, criticizing the mission of Jesus, criticizing his ministry, scoffing and the rest, right? They're not the right people. You're saving the wrong people. And we won't celebrate with you because we have nothing to celebrate. You're doing all the wrong things for all the wrong people. In the midst of the down and outs, and sure, the ne'er-do-wells starting to get their lives back on track, right? Finding the true and living God and starting to live by his merciful rule, starting to embody his love for the world that so desperately needs it, right? Joining Jesus in his for the other mission. So this is a significant parable, I think, because we see in the end just what the task is of mercy that Jesus has summoned us to as a people. And I think person to person, what is the task? We see, right, here the rich man in torment, a torment of his own making, because he's refused to live for the purposes of God. He's taken what God has given and he's using it for himself. But here at the end, this reversal of fortunes that happens at the end, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. It doesn't sound all that significant, does it? I mean, a drop of water to cool the torment of someone now on the outside. This is the act of mercy, right? For us, does it take, you know, real great actions? Does it take commitment to this project and that thing? And, you know, we are going to put the world to rights. Yeah, we are called to be God's putting the world to rights people. But for us, what it takes is actions simply that small that involve the depth of God's love. So it's ours actually not to be the rich man, and ours not necessarily to kind of live in this mold of Lazarus. Jesus is painting this kind of picture of preaching, right? We are called, in fact, though, to rise from the dead. We are called to be made alive by God's mercy, and the sign that we have been raised from the dead with Christ and that our lives now center on the true and living God is that we will be distributors of his grace. We will bring his love to life for others, no matter the cost. We will do small things, the small actions, with great love. I think it's great to have Margarita with us celebrating her first Holy Communion today. It's always special for us to celebrate the first Holy Communion because we have to remember just how precious this gift is to us of Christ in the most blessed sacrament. We have mercy in the flesh, to an extent that we can't even measure, right? God's overwhelming love for us, that he would make himself food for us to eat, to sustain us and give us strength. How much we receive from him. We can't even begin to imagine, but we still bring ourselves before him in all humility, seeking his mercy, seeking his strength, seeking his healing, and committing ourselves to be part of that strength and healing bringing people as we make our way out in the world. That what he has given us, we don't receive in vain, but we make fruitful also in the life of everyone we encounter.